are working on something quite unique. Moderation. Lhotse's beautiful teachings. Filling all the way to the brim is not good. Pounding the edge to sharpness will not make it last. Keeping plenty of gold and jade in places makes no one able to defend it. Displaying riches and titles with pride brings one's own downfall. Retreat after work. A work well done, he says. This is the way of heaven. There's so much to be said in all of this. We do not live in moderation. Everything is over the top, excessive, everything. So we live very difficult lives. We overthink everything. We don't really understand what it means to have a meaningful life. We are not in harmony with the world, with the earth, and we're not in harmony with what Lhotse would call the heaven within us. If we fill the cup to the brim, we risk spilling it, wasting. This shows our impatience, our gluttony. Sometimes we are like children, we bite off more than we can chew. It wears us down, it makes everything tasteless, bland. If we hammer a blade, it gets sharp, but it also gets fragile, and it breaks easily. Then what good is the sharpness, he is saying to us. We push things in this world. Push them to their very end, always trying to make distinctions between ourselves and other people. I want you to listen to something Krishnamurti said. It's very, very true. When you call yourself an Indian or a Muslim or a Christian or a European or anything else, you are being violent, he said. Do you see why it is violent? Because you are separating yourself from the rest of humankind. When you separate yourself by belief, nationality, tradition, breeds, a certain kind of violence. So a man who is seeking to understand violence does not belong to any real country, any religion, any political party, or any system. This person is concerned with the totality of understanding humankind. We go over the top. Everything is over the top. And being over the top, it breeds a violence in us. What Lhotse is saying to us is so deeply important. We sharpen the edge of our knife. We find reasons to hate. This is the metaphor. We sharpen our vengeance through our pride. And when we do this, we become lethal. Not only to ourselves, but to those around us. When you make a plan to, quote unquote, get even with someone else or get ahead of someone else, you are hurting yourself. The person of the Tao simply does their work, not in competition with others, but in harmony with the Tao, living in harmony with the Tao. Hence, everything of the earthly realm is done in moderation. This is the apex, as I talked about in the last discourse, of understanding the meaning of our life. We avoid excess, extremes. We don't take action on excess and extremes. What do you sharpen your attention upon? I have counselees that all they can talk about is gossip, what is wrong with others, and how they suffer from being with those others. They never see the real meaning. They never understand. They don't want to understand because it is so important to bring things into their life that sharpen their dull mentality. Their acuity is very dull, very, very stupid, as Lhotse's talked about it, dumb. We like the gossip of others. We sharpen our criticism of others, especially if someone is different than ourselves. Have you ever found yourself sharpening that blade of criticism towards another person? You know what I'm talking about. Let me give you a story. This is an ancient story from Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. This is such an interesting story. A nun who was searching for enlightenment made a statue of Buddha and covered it with gold leaf. Very expensive, you know. Wherever she went, she carried this golden Buddha with her. Years passed, and still carrying her golden Buddha, the nun came to live in a small temple in a country where there were many Buddhas, each one with its own particular shrine, its own particular uniqueness. It was art. The nun wished to burn incense before her golden Buddha, not liking the idea of the perfume maybe straying to the other Buddhas. She devised a funnel through which the smoke would ascend only to her statue. This blackened the nose of the golden Buddha, making it especially ugly. Do you understand the story? Do you understand what is being taught here to us? How we are, how we live. She took it too far, filling it to the brim, as it were. She just took it too far, no moderation. And then she pounded the edges of the knife to sharpen it so she could look at her Buddha and think of it as special. These are the things that we unconsciously do. We try to be better than others. We don't understand our life at all, or the meaning of our life. We are not here to be special. We are here to understand simplicity, solitude, and silence. In those three elements is the lifestyle of the awakened. We live in moderation with everything. Not too much this, not too little that. Living in moderation is an art. Living in the middle way is an art. If we do not understand this moderation that I speak of, where we are no longer trying to fill our life to the brim, where we are no longer trying to sharpen our attentions only towards mischief, when we are no longer interested in doing this, criticizing, sharpening our intellect, using it as a weapon, when we are no longer interested in any of that, we then avoid our downfall. Have you ever wondered about your own downfall? What was it that you lived and did that constituted your own downfall in this lifetime? No, not who you married and all of that stuff, although that contributes to it, but your own downfall, where you lost your apex and you went into exaggeration. Exaggeration of yourself, exaggeration of others, pitting yourself against others. And sit with yourself. How you lived like the black-nosed Buddha, like the nun who really wasn't searching for awakening. She wanted her Buddha to speak for her, to be special. And when she did what she did because of her gluttony, because of her selfishness, because of her pride, it made her Buddha particularly ugly. I am sure you understand what I am talking about. Whenever we've tried to be better than others, we have entered into this lavish gluttony. We overthink. We start thinking about what other people will think of us. And we make that more important than knowing ourselves. Socrates was right. Know thyself. He was saying, know what comprises what you are. And then once you understand it, you will abandon this idea of self. And you will no longer be a part of it or its mischief. You will start looking at your life from a different point of view. Instead of the black-nosed Buddha, you will start realizing that the only true beauty in your life is in fulfilling the karma you came here to fulfill. That is to be generous, to be kind, to be forgiving, to have mercy, not only upon yourself, but upon others, because everyone is in concert with ourselves in this world. You have the people in your life that are eh, and you have the people in your life that you suppose are better than eh, and then you have those that support you. Maybe in your gluttony, maybe in your delusions and illusions of yourself, and they're your bestest friends. Most goodest. If you start looking at the way you carry on in your life, you will understand that you will go and fill your glass to the brim to try to impress others, to invoke some sort of respect from other people. But Lhotse is saying, the sage, the person of the Tao, gets no respect from those who laugh at the Tao or occasionally look at it from time to time. You're not going to get kudos for being a meditator. You're not going to get kudos for trying to get people to like you, love you, worship you, respect you. No, not at all. The meaning and the substance of our life is held in how we live in the moderation of this world, using that moderation as a means to no longer provoke karma in our life, the black-nosed Buddha. You're here for a very specific reason. I'm here for a very specific reason. If you miss this because you are busy filling your glass to the brim and sharpening your intellect to the point where you can criticize and find fault with anyone, you're going to find in your life that meditation is difficult. Inner work is really of no consequence to you, not of much interest, because there's nothing there that is deeply important to you. Most people do not understand why they struggle with meditation. And the reason is that they are preoccupied with so many other things in their life, wanting to be special, unique. They want to escape this world or become the Lord Governor of it, controlling it. Of course, this never works. And no matter how many incarnations we may have, it's still very difficult for us to understand. So what to do? Moderation. To live in moderation. This is why Krishnamurti's statement is so deeply important. Don't separate yourself. Know thyself. Understand the mechanism of your genetic pride and ego and what you are living to compensate for. If you understand that most people live in a compensation for their lack of awareness, their lack of mercy, their lack of basic goodness, then you understand. Then you become generous and kind. You see the futility. Unless you see the futility of the way you live, you will find nothing that is substantially meaningful to your life. It just isn't going to happen. You have to be beyond the beyond, as the Buddha said. Beyond the ideas of rightness. If these things are not evident within you, if you are still trying to get more than what is your ceiling of karma, if you're trying to get more than what is, if you have no character, which will be defined by how you sharpen your mind to hurt other people, maybe even to hurt yourself, then you are living in futility. Don't bring about your downfall. Why would you do that? Why would you make your life impossible? Bringing yourself down to the level of futility simply provides you nothing but hate and fear, and constitutes ignorance. Sit with yourself. Sit in the way, the truth, and the light. Learn to want nothing with all of your heart. If you can do this, which you can, you will come into the uniqueness of your life. There are many people running around with their black-nosed Buddha. They don't think anybody notices it, but there it is. Is your Buddha a black-nosed Buddha? Is the way you live the black-nosed Buddha? Think about it. Let's meditate together. do something unique. I'm going to give this to you from Lhotse and the Tao. I suffer, Lhotse says, due to my ego, my selfishness, my pride. If I become unselfish, if I become merciful, how could I ever suffer? Let's do that together. Let go. No longer sharpening my ego. Let's live in the mercy of